Are we recording? I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session of the City Council for October 4th, 2022. And our first item is our monthly financial report with Heidi.
Thank you. Just a few items to note on the August financials. Again, it's still a little an interesting time of the year. We're 17% through the year. Our expenditures are tracking appropriately. Our sales tax and other tax revenues have not been posted yet and received. We'll start receiving those in September. But some things to note. The very first thing, due to the collection timing, tax revenues just appear low. We will start seeing that in September. Interest revenues are up nearly $80,000, which is pretty significant for the city because interest rates are so high at the moment. So that's somewhat unique in that even though we're only 2 months into the year, some interest revenue budgets have already surpassed what was expected to be collected. Utility rate revenues, I know there was some concern with the rate increase, but also the conservation. Those are tracking right as would be expected for the first 2 months of the year. And then impact fees are down 35%. So we're watching those very closely. Sherry and I just had a good discussion about that just yesterday. So at some point we might need to recast those revenue figures. That's about all I have to report on the financial statements. You have in your packets the full financial report and then this two-page summary. Were there any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is a presentation related to the municipal court, and we'll have Jody Adamson, the court clerk, come forward. Also, I'd like to acknowledge that our judge, David Miller, is here and recognize him. Thank you for all you do for us and for our city.
I just want to first say thank you for giving me the opportunity to present to you today. I am very passionate about my job in the court, so I'm excited to tell you a little bit about it. Gotta remember I have to click these. So the motto of the Justice Court is that we strive to improve the quality of life in our communities, and all of us that work within the justice system do this by providing a neutral location for both defendants and the prosecution side to handle all of the court cases. Within the court, there are several different employees. Judge David Miller, he has a lot of experience in the court system. He received his law degree back in 1982, and he has been a judge since 1996. He's worked for North Salt Lake for 14 years. Prior to that, he's also was a judge in Fruit Heights, and he is currently the judge in Centerville City as well. I have worked for the court system for almost 23 years, and I've been with North Salt Lake for 17 of those. And I've worked with three different judges, and we have the best judge. Might be prejudice, but we do. Susie Combe Van Komen has been with North Salt Lake for 16 years. That's been her entire experience with the court system. She currently works 29 hours each week. And Kathy Ruggiero has been with the courts for 5 years, and she is our part-time clerk and works 20 hours a week. In addition to that, we also have other employees within the court that are a little bit different. The prosecuting attorneys, we contract with four different prosecutors from the Davis County Attorney's Office: Jason Nelson, Ryan Perkins, Nathan Lyon, and Brandon Pohl. So they come and they do that on Tuesdays and help us with all of the prosecution for the cases. Our public defender is Roger Adams. He's a newer attorney, been attorney just a few years, but prior to that, back in the old building, he was also our Spanish interpreter. Our Spanish interpreter now is Myrna Fernelius, and we have enough cases that she appears almost every time we have court. Today we had between 10 and 15 Spanish cases that she was able to help us with. And West Bountiful, we also handle their cases, and their public defender is Matt Brass. An overview of what we do in the courts, there's four different classifications of the courts, one being the largest court. We are a class two court, which means we have between 200 and 1 and 500 cases every month. Our average is about 250 a month. We handle traffic cases, misdemeanors that are infractions, misdemeanor B and C, as well as West Bountiful cases and also West Bountiful city ordinances. We have a contract with West Bountiful, so we do both of their courts, and the revenue that's retained from West Bountiful is split 50-50 between us and West Bountiful City. Within the state, the courts are divided into eight different districts. Our district is the second district, and we are Weber, Morgan, and Davis counties. Within Davis counties, there are eight or nine justice courts. Some of the smaller cities do not have a justice court, so they have their cases sent to Farmington, to the county court. We are the only court other than Farmington that has, or sorry, rephrase that, other than the Davis County Justice Court that has multiple agencies within it. We are also the second largest justice court in the county. Layton and Bountiful do not have a justice court, but they handle their cases contracted through the district courts in both Layton and Bountiful. And every one of the districts has justice courts, district courts, as well as juvenile courts. There's two different bodies that administer the courts. The first is the Administrative Office of the Courts. We reference it as the AOC. They handle all of the administrative actions and oversee education, trainings, anything that has to do with the administration. The other one is the Judicial Council that has 16 members on it, and they are the governing agency and body. They hold the constitutional authority for the judicial branch of the government. This next one just shows you, these are all programs that are owned by the state and managed by the state that we use on a regular basis in the court. Most of the time we have three or four of them open simultaneously. They are also designed with the purpose that all courts in the state all use these systems. So it's easier for defendants. There's one that they can link all of their cases together if they have them in multiple courts. Attorneys use them. It's all owned and maintained by the state. The court resources that we use also help both us and the public. The Utah Courts website is where the public can go to get all of their forms, and it's a great resource tool for the pro se litigants that don't have attorneys to assist them with their cases. The Bureau of Criminal Investigations is most commonly known to go and get your criminal history, but right now the big focus within the courts is helping defendants to expunge their cases. It used to be there were several fees associated with that, and the state has waived those fees, helping to get as many people possible expunge their minor cases so that it doesn't affect employment in these times right now. Motor vehicle and driver's license, they kind of speak for themselves, but we use them quite a bit. Office of State Debt Collection, we send all of our old expired warrants that we can't collect on to the Office of State Debt Collection so that they can help to assist us to collect the money on it. Our traffic cases are trending. We kind of have ignored 2020 as far as the trends because that didn't really affect us. But as you can see, the numbers for 2022, I pulled them as of September 30th. So right now, we are at or above where we were at year end last year. And the same trend follows with our West Bountiful cases as well. They're all going up. Our criminal activity has the same trend as well. It also shows what mental effect 2020 had on all of us. As you can see, domestic violence, controlled substance, they are both up considerably, which, and all of the alcohol. That is also the same for the West Bountiful cases for some reason.
Sorry, Jody.
Yes.
On these slides, 2022 is not a complete year, is that right?
That's just as of September.
Okay.
So we still have one more quarter.
All right.
That was my question.
Okay, yes. So that's just as of September 30th. And we're already trending at where we were at year end. Obviously, West Bountiful, they have a controlled substance issue. People like to, we'll just leave it at that. this one right here, I did include 2020 in it. That just shows the line graph as to where our cases were at 2019 versus where we're at now. We're at 2,300 cases now. I assume by the end of the year, we will hit 3,000 cases. We obtain our cases from not just the North Salt Lake and West Bountiful Police Department. It's also Highway Patrol, Davis County Sheriff's Department. We get a few from Bountiful and Woods Cross just because of the area, but we've had Salt Lake, Cottonwood Heights. If an officer's driving home and somebody's doing something egregious, they will still pull them over for us.
Jody, would yes. you go back to DUIs in North Salt Lake?
Sure.
Can I see that again? Right there, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I think last weekend, I think there was 4 or 5 DUIs just over the weekend. And that's not included in that count. The way we run court has changed dramatically in the last 2 years. We used to hold court on Tuesdays. It was first come, first serve. The lobby was full the whole day, line down to the hallway to the bathrooms. People would wait in the courtroom for hours on end sometimes to see the judge. They'd have to take a whole day off, find a babysitter, or bring their kids in. And now we do everything via WebEx. It has increased the work that we have to do. We have to create a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of added work to get the information to the prosecutors and to the judge so that they're all prepared for who's going to be in court. However, we can see a lot more people. On a busiest day in person, we had 136 people. We didn't take a lunch break, and we were here till after 6 o'clock. Today, we saw 85 people in court between 1 and 4:10. So we were able to handle so many more cases. We have jury trials in person, and we've had a couple of bench trials in person. Other than that, even bench trials can be handled online. We did have one jury trial here a few weeks ago that we actually held in this room for added space to help give the most comfort for social distancing if those jurors needed it. And it was the first jury trial we actually had held since 2018. This is not, you don't need to read it. This is just an example of the spreadsheets that we create for one day of court via WebEx. So there's a lot of work that goes into it, but it makes it run so much smoother, and people can take a lunch break. They can jump on and off if their kids are in the room. They can hit mute. It's a lot more efficient for the public. And if they don't have access to the internet or to the information, they can come in here in person, and we have a laptop that we put in one of the rooms in the lobby that they can still log on and see the judge. Are there any questions?
If people wanted to come in person, are they allowed to do that, or do they have to use WebEx?
No, they can come in person if they choose to or if they can't get on. Either way, anyone is more than welcome to always come on. It's still open to the public. The website's on the state's the logon for the WebEx hearing is posted on the state website. So anybody can log on, or they can call us and we will email them the link so that anybody also can log on as well, so that it remains a public hearing.
So when we were planning the construction of this building, we kind of wrestled with that whole, do we have a court or do we do away with it? If we have one, do we create its own facility? And we chose that route, and I think it's been a good one for us. I was pleased when we started taking West Bountiful's case, because I thought we're utilizing that better. Do we have more capacity? If another city approached us and said, can we use your facility on Thursdays or...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The more the merrier. Come on in.
So I guess I'm wondering out loud, you know, like what does Woods Cross do, or what is there potential there to maximize that use of that facility more? Yes.
I think there is. We haven't really...
It's kind of a weird thing to solicit.
Gone into the business of soliciting, yeah. but we
hey,
certainly...
Hey, bring your criminals here and we'll take care of them.
We certainly could, though. Jody is really close to her colleagues in the county, and so she knows other court clerks. I'm with the city managers quite often in the South Davis area, and I certainly will
just raise
that question. Yeah.
The other question I had... Roger, I knew he translated. He's also a prosecuting?
He is the public defender.
Oh, public defender. Okay, I didn't realize
defender.
That. He's a really dirty basketball player.
But. Our prior public defender we had for many years, at least a decade, maybe actually probably 20 years plus. And during the pandemic, he was diagnosed with liver cancer, and within 3 weeks he had passed away.
Oh,
so it was a really quick transition to get applications out for a new public defender.
Okay. Well, I expect you to tell Roger what I said about him, too.
I sure will.
Any other questions?
Oh. I do.
Yes.
Thank you, Jody, for the presentation, and it's clear that the court provides a really important service to the community. Kind of a new council member type of question. Can you talk a little bit about the budget side of this? Where does the revenue come from? Does it leave the city whole? If it doesn't leave the city whole, where does the gap come in? Just help us understand just the lay of the land of that.
Sure, it depends on the types of cases. What percentage goes where. For instance, on a DUI, the court gets a certain amount of the fines, depending on what amount that is, $700-$800 about, and then there is an upcharge of 90% surcharges. Those surcharges are allocated to go to the state. Some of them go to help with education and training. Some of it goes to help the jails, the juvenile courts, court security. And so it's allocated that way. So there is a portion of every single fine that goes to the state. On traffic tickets, the percentage is 35%. There's some driver's license, no insurance, some of those types of charges. 100% of the revenue that comes in stays within the city.
Natalie?
Sorry, I'm swallowing. So I'm trying to understand the funding part. So do we keep all of the fine and then we send the surcharge to the state?
Correct.
Because you said 35%, that just means the surcharge is 35% of the fine that we keep. Is it two different things or one?
It's one fine. So, for instance, a speeding citation, 9 under, is $130. It just cut out. So a speeding citation is $130. I believe we keep $85 of that.
Okay, so there's not a surcharge on a speeding
ticket. And then the other
amount,
up to the $130, is sent to the state.
Thanks.
So just to give everybody a scale, I think the budgeting question is a really good question. We budgeted $351,000 in expenses for the budget. Those are budget numbers. And we've budgeted about $300,000 in revenue. So the court's a little bit in the hole, but has was one of those services that I don't believe we've intended to have pay 100%. At least in my experience, it never has paid 100%. But with the addition of West Bountiful, I do think that's a contract where we haven't done this analysis, but I think we get a lot closer to covering the court costs. I think it's a good deal for us to share the revenue 50-50. We did not add any staff to the court. We added some hours on our part-time staff to accommodate West Bountiful's cases. But really our overhead more or less stayed the same. And so we do have a significant increase in revenue from that contract. It's a good question, though.
Also, Ken, along with that, West Bountiful also pays for their prosecution services as well as their public defender.
What is meant by governing council in the budget? And while he's looking for that, how often do we have to use the pro tem judge?
The pro tem judge, we only use, I totally skipped over that. Our small claims cases, we hold once a month. And we use pro tem judge Albert Prano. He is a criminal defense attorney, and he just does this on a pro tem basis. There's no fee that he charges for that. It's just for him to gain experience. He is a North Salt Lake resident. He lives down in Foxborough.
So he is exclusively for the small claims cases?
Only small claims.
So does our current judge do small claims cases, or are they always assigned to the pro tem judge?
Prior to us having a pro tem judge, Judge Miller did all of the cases.
But now they go?
They go with a pro tem judge. Most of the pro tem judges do it as experience because they want to be a judge at some point.
Yeah.
To answer your question, the governing council in the budget is the city council.
Okay.
So that's your budget.
She wondered why it was so small.
I had to kind of look, since we were mixing governing council in the presentation with the budget. So anyway, that's the city council's budget. That's where we have the city attorney, for example. Some of our memberships to different organizations are in there.
And elections. All right. Thank you.
Jody, I have another question.
Sure.
Do you, or would it be plausible to have youth groups come in and tour the courts, or particularly, I know at Mule Park Junior High, they have a mock trials team. Could they come use the room to practice their mock trials?
In order for them to use the courtroom, to try it right now where we're not using the courtroom, it would be a lot easier. When we're doing in-person court, we try to keep the courtroom as secure as possible. So they would probably need to have a bailiff here, which in the past has always been done by the police department, and go through the magnetometer just to keep the room as safe as possible so that when we come in, it's always been secure.
So potentially possible, but there are some things to go through.
But yes, we could absolutely arrange that.
I think a mock court works well in this room too. So this room is...
And let me comment that I think one of the downsides of going all virtual as we have is we've lost some of that. To me, that's one of the benefits that's a side product of having a court is to have the scouts come in when the judge is there, or you as the city council to have them come in. And I am totally open to, if there's someone who wants to do that, I'd be happy to make an appointment to be there. But we wouldn't be a live court because we're doing it all virtually now. But I think that's a great benefit to having a court as well, to display the third branch of government. So,
yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think it is such a mentoring experience. I know my first time in a court was when I was doing mock trials as a teenager, and it felt so elusive and grand. And for a lot of people, they never go into a court their whole lives, which maybe shuts down some doors of career paths that they never even considered.
Any other questions for Jody? Judge, would you like to say a few words to us?
I would. First, I'd like to say thanks. Appreciate your support. And it's really important. Really important to me, but I think just as important or more so to these three ladies that are stellar, and I appreciate them so much. The state has changed its nomenclature. They're no longer referring to the judicial assistants as clerks. Instead, they're referring to them as judicial assistants to differentiate, as opposed to clerk this, clerk this, clerk that. And I think that's an appropriate distinction to draw and say that Jody is my judicial assistant. And I just think that would be something to commend for all of us to start to change our nomenclature about that. Jody made a comment that I just wanted a simple correction. She mentioned the prosecutor, the public defender, as being, she used the word within, and they're not within the court. They're really within you folks. They're not within the court. They're associated with the court, obviously, and we're very grateful for them. They're great. Grateful that you have a contract with the Davis County Attorney's Office for the prosecution services. I'm grateful you also have that same kind of contract with the public defender, but it's not within the court. That's and some would think that's nitpicky for me, but it's important to keep the distinction between the three branches of government, in my estimation. Another thing I want to echo with what Jody said was the efficiency. I am amazed that we're able to accomplish what we can accomplish, like today with 85 cases in about 3.5 hours, that would have consumed most of the day historically in court. And it's because of the technology, it's because people are ready to go when they're there, it's because we don't have the stop and start as people coming up and getting down and going through the magnetometer and all of that. It requires more of the judicial assistance. It requires more of me because I need to prepare in advance, where in the past I would rely upon Jody to hand me something and I'd look at it and call the next person. But it is an efficient system, and the survey recently done statewide is that, hands down, it is the choice of the public, like 75% or so say that's the way they want to hold court. Which is strange because we're used to court being a building, and it is still, but a lot of what we have today is on WebEx. So that is the courtroom experience. And it's a good one because I can look them in the eye and stay concentrated with them, and it's a good experience. So I'm pleased with it. There are some judges who are chomping at the bit to get back in the courtroom, and I'm fine with that. The jury trial we held here 2 weeks ago, and thank you for this chambers, we had a juror there, a juror there, a juror there, and I was sitting over there. The witness was here, prosecuting attorney, defense attorney, and the defendant, and it went great. We summoned 30 people as potential witnesses. We had them spread out here, and the work that these three ladies went to set all of that up, it was a major event. Like she said, we haven't conducted one of those in 5 years. So it was a good experience, and it worked well here. The Administrative Office of the Courts looks at this building, and they're actually thinking, if we ever change the system, we'd like to use this building. Because it has the potential for two places that a jury could sit, one there and one over there. And so there's all of that that I think makes this a very attractive place for a court system. I had one other matter, and there it is, okay. The last thing I wanted to say, and then I'm open to questions as well, is hearkening back to what Jody said about the mission of the court, to improve the quality of life in our community. And in that regard, I brought a letter that I received last week from an individual I don't remember. And I say I don't remember him in part because I want to highlight the idea that it isn't me. It isn't me with my magic doing something. I'm part of the system, but I think as much as anything, it's that whole system that is not within the court, but surrounds the court and is part of it. My name is Dominic. I'm writing today to show my gratitude for what you do and giving me the opportunity to go to the Red Barn. Red Barn has given me my life back, and I have never been this happy or proud of myself in a very long time. I have my family back in my life in a way that I never thought was possible because of all the damage I caused due to my addiction. It's been over 15 years since I have felt this good about myself. I'm 3 years clean now, and I've never felt better. Red Barn saved my life. Thank you for the opportunity. That's wonderful to get. Again, I don't recognize the individual. We get some frequent flyers that I do recognize, but he wasn't one of them that I recognize, and it wasn't really me that did it as much as everybody coming together. And similarly, this is a book that I have read probably maybe 200 to 300 book reports about, because in the effort to improve the quality of life in our society, if I have somebody standing in front of me that's got a retail theft charge, I don't have real high confidence that sending them to take class on, you know, criminal behavior and theft is really going to do a lot, because of the nature of that particular one. And so uniformly, for many years now, I have offered them two alternatives as a part of their probation. I sentence them. I say, okay, you have pled guilty to this theft charge or something else as well, but in theft charge is what I'll stay with for a moment. And that carries with it a possible six-month jail sentence. And it carries with it a possible $1,950 fine. And going back to the budget question you ask about, the actual fine, I think, is capped at $1,000. The other $950 is the surcharge. So I don't distinguish with that. I just say the possible fine is $1,950. And then what do we do? What do we actually sentence you to now, sir or ma'am? Well, your sentence today, based on your criminal history and your past or whatever, is, say, 100 days in jail. However, I'm suspending all of that jail time, and instead you are ordered to serve 12 months of probation. It can be supervised or it can be unsupervised. In this case, we'll say it's unsupervised. So in other words, I'm the supervisor. I, the judge, am the supervisor of your probation. And if you do what you're supposed to do, you don't serve any of the 100 days in jail. You do pay the fine, and let's say it's going to be, that's important for you to understand as well. There is a uniform fine committee that recommends uniform fines throughout the state. So for that example of the theft case, if I'm thinking right, it's $680. Is the uniform fine that is recommended to be imposed and ordered to be paid by every criminal who is guilty of theft. Now, am I bound by that? No, but it makes sense to try and be uniform throughout the state. So unless there's a reason to deviate upward or downward, I follow it. I follow that uniform. It used to be called the fine and bail schedule, but now it's just the fine schedule. So I order that defendant to, number one, pay a fine, number two, not go to jail, but have 100 days of jail hanging over your head, and number three, be on probation. Now, the terms of probation, no new violations of law. Maybe that you can't possess or consume any alcohol or illegal substance. Not be with anyone else. Well, they're actively doing that either. And then we get to, well, what about counseling, education, and treatment? And we have a lot of great folks that want to help in that. And that's where I then will say, in this regard, with your particular case, you have the option. You can, within 3 months, take a class regarding theft and give me a certificate showing that you did it, your diploma, and that satisfies that probationary condition. Or you can write me a book report or come back and tell me about the book. But it's not a book report per se. It's, yes, it's a book report, but it's how that pertains to what you did on January 1st when you stole the gas from the gas station or whatever you did. So it's apply the book to your life and tell me about it. And again, I've read hundreds of those now, and I am surprised how consistently I find that people start out and say, I really was mad at you when you said I had to do a book report of that, but I'm really grateful I did it. So I think it has a purpose in helping improve the quality of our lives in our community.
So, Judge, just a point of clarification. So you have them read The Anatomy of Peace and then do... I love that book. I just absolutely love it. I'll write you a report.
Any questions? Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have planned, if you'd like, to have Jody and the judge walk you through the facilities. We don't often go through those facilities because they're locked, and technically we're all supposed to be cleared to go through there, but we'll watch you and make sure you don't look at any computers or anything.
The chief's here.
Yeah, the chief's here. So.
I'm not cleared anymore.
Yeah, he needs to do a book report. That's what he needs to do.
Thank you. that's really it, because I don't.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Well, it was just right there, like what we done about the trip. It was bad for the first leg.
Yeah, I'm sure you have it. And then,
it's good to have it. Just
well, we have one to wear. I wish they'd hit me up because Alex is falling off on the
Chinese form book, and I have to wear a high top.
I've never heard that.
From being totally anonymous in the world to probably fairly easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny.
There's some ribbons. Yes. He will call. He thought the ribbons were called. First of all,
somebody motions to adjourn the meeting before the appointment.
That's what I heard, and I know I'm a little nervous.
Yes. I think there's a precedent.
I'm voting yes. Motion to adjourn right before the last item on the agenda.
I'll check it next time.
Oh, just...
listening to it. I've been recording my kid because he's like living and dying.
Next time I went to vote, I wasn't on the list.